I had a guy come to my office. Actually, it was a young man, and then he came with his sister and his sister's husband, and they wanted to come and talk to me about asset protection. And they just all wanted to meet at one time. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. We can all meet together if that's what you want to do. And I told the married couple, I said, let's start with you guys. What do you guys have? Y'all want to talk about asset protection? Let's discuss asset protection. So they were going through, and it was what I would consider to be just a typical client that came through. You know, they had a home. They did have a rental house. They had a decent amount of cash. And so we talked about some of the asset protection options that were available to them and some estate planning options. And then I got to this other young guy and said, okay, well, let's talk about you. You got any, you have any real estate? No, I don't. I said, okay, where do you live? I just travel a lot. And whenever I'm in town, I live with my sister and her husband. Okay, so no house. Okay. You got a car? No, I don't have a car. Like I said, I travel a lot. When I'm traveling, I don't need to do a lot of, I don't need to own a car. When I come back to town, my sister and her husband, they let me use her car. Okay. You got any cash? Nah, you know, I probably have about $50,000 in the bank. I'm like, okay, well, that's getting there. But I'm thinking, all right, where is the asset protection? Why are you coming to see me about asset protection? And he says, do you want to know about investments? I said, well, actually, that's going to be my next question. So let's talk about investments. What type of investments do you have? He said, I got about $5 million in Bitcoin. I said, ah, now we've got something to protect. Well, used to before the Bitcoin crash. But he had some Bitcoin that he wanted to protect. Now, he told me, he said, and next week I'm moving down to Puerto Rico, so I need to set up a Puerto Rican trust, if I can, to protect all this. I was like, "Woo! Well, now we got a whole different can of worms to deal with. But for him, he did ask me, though, so do we need to put this in a business entity, an LLC? What do we need to do? And I said, no. These, you're talking about personal assets. We need, LLC is going to be for business assets. But we talked a little bit about trust for him, and we can talk a little bit about that later. But for business assets, when you have that rental house, when your person comes in, they've got a small business, maybe it's a small family restaurant, maybe it's rental properties, maybe it's a roofing business, whatever it may be, if they are conducting business, one of your first questions to that client needs to be, what type of business entity do you have? And there are different types of business entities, sole proprietorships, partnerships, LLPs, C-Corps, S-Corps, LLCs. Most likely, if you've got somebody that's come in, the vast majority of folks will tell me, oh yeah, I've got it set up in an LLC. Or they'll one of two things. Yes, I operate a business. No, I don't have any type of formal business entity set up. Okay, well, you're a sole proprietorship. Or if you got a business partner, you're in a partnership. Or they'll say, yeah, I've set up an LLC. Okay, well, good. Well, tell me about this LLC. Is your business owned in the name of the LLC? Their rental house, is it owned in the name of the LLC? No. Okay, your roofing company, do you have a bank account in the LLC? No. Does the LLC own any hammers, shingles, trucks, trailers, buildings? No. But you've got the LLC set up, right? Yeah, I've set up the LLC. Well, very good. Congratulations. You have a useless LLC at that point in time. But we can now start utilizing that LLC. We've just got to make sure we're doing it. The other thing, though, most people say, no, I don't have anything. I've got a sole proprietorship. These are my former plaintiff buddies over here, okay? They find out that you have a sole proprietorship, and they are going to start licking their chops because they know they have no hurdles that they have to jump through. It's not like young Ben back in high school looking at that hurdle. They don't have a hurdle at all. They've just got nothing but green grass in front of them. Everything that you own, if it's not an exempt asset, they're fixing to come and get when somebody slips and falls at that rental house, when one of their workers falls off the roof, whatever it may be. If they are just operating under a sole proprietorship, a DBA, they're just out there doing business. They got problems. And you need to make sure that you explain what those problems are. And that's a potential liability that's out there. And everything they own, their business assets, their personal assets, is all going to be at risk if something happens. Same thing with a partnership. You're not going to have any general liability protection here. If they have actually set up a limited partnership, then there may be some limited protection if you have a, depending on how your partnership is structured, what role you play in that partnership. But I'm not going to spend too much time, but just know that there are options with a limited liability partnership to gain some type of liability protection. A C Corp, you can do this. You got a bunch of corporate formalities you got to follow through. It can be a royal pain in the rear end. If you're just a small person just trying to operate a business, use a lot of corporate formalities. Also some issues with stocks and types of things that you end up owning that may not be that you may not get protection for. Limited liability company, though.